We've skipped ahead in our journey through Mark, and we'll circle back in a couple of weeks to pick up what we've missed. And right now, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and Mark 12 opens with Jesus telling us a story. Now, we call the stories told by Jesus parables. They're a story with a message. And the parable we read this morning, has been called the parable of the wicked tenants. And you know, as I thought about it, the way that we relate to things, to stories, is connected to how we see things or how we hear things. Said another way, I understand based on from where I stand. And as you listen this morning, where do you stand? How do you see the characters in the story? Who do they represent, and which of them might you be? So let's kind of review the story to freshen it in your minds. A landowner has bought land and spent money planting a vineyard. He's built a fence around it. He's dug out for a wine press and built a watchtower. And then he leases the land to tenants and goes to another country. Now he's hired the tenants to care for the vineyard so that he might make a profit on his investment. And when the season came, the time to harvest, he sent a slave to collect his share of the produce of the vineyard. But the tenants beat the slave and sent him away with nothing. And so the landowner sends another slave. And this one they beat on the head and insult him. But the landowner is persistent. And he sends yet a third slave. And this one the tenants killed. And the landowner sent others. We don't know how many. We're not told that. Some were beaten and others killed. And eventually, the landowner sends his son to collect the rent, assuming that they will respect him and see that the owner is not giving up. But instead, they plot and they kill the son, and they assume that since the rightful heir is gone, they will get to keep the land for themselves, all for free. And Jesus asks those to whom he's speaking, what will the landowner do? And then answering his own question, he said that the landowner would come, destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. And he asks them if they had not heard this scripture. And then he quoted from Psalm 118, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Realizing that the parable was about them, they wanted to arrest him, but were afraid of the crowd. So they left him and went away. Now, the whole parable is based on Isaiah 5, chapters or verses 1 through 7. And in both scriptures, the vineyard is Israel, both the land and the people. chosen, protected, and nurtured by God. And God desired a crop of good grapes, obedient and loving children, but God only bad fruit. And God promises to destroy the vineyard. And it's not until verse 12 that we find out that the them are the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. They are the tenants. And this story is about them and their care for Israel and its people. For you see, rather than doing what God wanted them to do, and doing so with gratitude, they have become entitled and hoarded everything for themselves. Okay, so now we know who the tenants are, and we know who the landowner is. So who were the slaves? God sent prophets to Israel to help reform it. And when he sent those prophets, the prophets were often rejected and even killed. And now, when God has sent the Son, Jesus, to them, the result will be the same. Jesus will be killed. And see, right now, Jesus changes roles. And he goes from healing and teaching to prophesizing, to becoming the authoritative predictor of what will happen. And even though he will be killed, that's not the end of the story. Even though rejected by the hierarchy, the religious authorities, Jesus will become the cornerstone. The destroyed will become the destroyer. I'd like to return to the title of today's message, From Where I Stand. We already know how the priests and the elders and the scribes wanted to and eventually would respond. Angry at Jesus, they wanted to kill him. Let me ask you how you think the readers or the hearers of Mark's gospel would understand the message from where they stood. Now, the gospel of Mark, the background for what was going on at the time that Mark was written, was the destruction of the temple. Fierce Roman oppression, which was met with an uprising. So that means that probably it was written between 65 and 75 AD. And the Romans, being the Romans, crushed that uprising, killing many and destroying both the temple and Jerusalem. It was a tough time to be part of a Jewish or a fledgling Christian community. And isn't that what happens during times of change? When ideas are being established and patterns being set, there's always a jostling of position which creates division and separation. Same for the Jews, centuries of tradition is being thrown into doubt with the arrival of Jesus. And there is an inevitable pushback reaction. From where you stand, how would you respond if Jesus were talking to you or about you? Now, for me personally, if I were addressed by Christ, I'm pretty sure it would be a wake-up call. In a world in which conflict, actual physical combat, and certainly verbal combat, could this scripture be a call for us? A call to an awareness of where all of this conflict leads, to the dysfunction that it causes. You see, groups in conflict are claiming ownership of the vineyard. And we have to decide to whom our allegiance will go. And it seems to me that failing to trust in the goodness and the provision of God always leads to a worldview that's grounded in fear and leads to death. Death in life and death in relationships. And no matter where we stand, when we claim ownership of the high ground, we're putting ourselves in the place of God. It seems to me that the message is a message to repent, a call to change. Let us pray. Jesus, you spoke words to Jerusalem's leaders, that words that were hard to hear. Give us ears to receive your word of life so that we can follow you faithfully. Amen.